Wait, I'm here, guys. I'm looking for the song. Okay, here you go. Here you go. Okay. Enjoy.
From underneath the trees, we watch the sky. Confusing stars, the satellites. I never dreamed that you'd be mine. But here we are, we're here tonight.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Oh, my.
Hi
so
there.
I just did all that with the mic off. Okay.
Oh, no, I heard most of the song. Hello, everybody.
Okay, no, the song, but you didn't hear. I was talking going, welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show, and I introduced myself. Yes, of course. You know, this is live radio, so things are bound to happen. Well, yeah,
right.
I'm Golden Hawk. Welcome to the show. With me tonight is the enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the
Hello.
Show, Janine.
Hello, everybody. Hello. I'm hearing I'm sounding youthful tonight, Goldie says. And it's funny because on the chat room, Kathy just said, hi, Janie. And that's what my grandfather and a lot of people called me when I was a little girl. So there must be something going on with that. Isn't that
funny?
Indeed.
Oh, and I want to tell everybody who's having trouble with the audio while listening to the live shows, right under the episode, the page where the pictures flash, there's a link that says play in your default player. Polar Bear told me that if you hit the default player, it comes up in like your Windows Media or one of those, you know, players, and it drops out a lot less often. So I definitely wanted to share that with you guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yes, my little youthful friend who is posting gorgeous pictures of Russia and, you know, we had a...
Yeah, the wetlands and bluebirds.
Yeah, beautiful pictures.
It's kind of like very synonymous to what it's full of life, like you were just talking about with me before the show, you know, just alive.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
And I think even in the song, wasn't he saying, I'm alive or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
in fact,
great.
Let me give credit. That is Nickelback, If Everyone Cared. And... I think it's a beautiful song. Did you think it was a beautiful? I know it's rock and roll.
No,
some people.
I loved it. I loved it, and it's very passionate. You know.
Yeah.
You know, like yeah. And I thought he said something about under the trees.
Well, I know he talks about being under the stars. I think he does talk in the second. I don't know all the words by heart.
Yeah, I was listening.
I want you to listen to the words. I want everybody, when I play songs, the words definitely have something to do with, you know, the message I'm trying to send. So I'm glad you're listening, you know, to the words.
Yeah. So always fun for me to be surprised, too.
Definitely. Even though, well, we're working on getting an actual professional intro for the Mystical Mother Earth show, because... I'm getting a sense that, you know, coming down the line, you know, we're going to want to have an intro. Because, you know, technically we're kind of breaking a few rules playing these songs. And,
But we're not
selling
anything. So.
We're here to just awaken and trigger and all that good stuff. So, I mean, it's all good, but, you know, it's also, if we're going to grow, which we have been lately, on some level, we have to, you know, apply the new growth to the rules that fit in the category of the new growth. So, you know,
sure.
It's all good. Yeah. Being in alignment. Hello, Elise. Hello, Kathy. I'm so glad you guys are here. I had news to share. I did not hold off on Facebook. I just couldn't. So some people might have figured it out, those who are on my Facebook wall. But me and Scott are back together, and I am, I'm very excited that, you know, I'm with my beloved again. Truth be told, I'm forever learning the journey of being in a relationship with myself and being in a relationship with another. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really is an amazing journey. Because I find for me, I don't normally do long-term relationships, but what's so interesting about that is I do long-term relationships, just not typically in that I have one partner for, you know, like 20 years. I do it more that the way my dance works is I'm finding, especially as I get older, I need to balance time alone and time in a partnership. And the partners that are willing to do the dance with me and come back again as a new relationship, because every time I'm on my own and I'm integrating aspects and parts of me and flipping beliefs and you know, integrating more of my shadow side, I literally come back changed. And it just brings this whole new insight and sensation to the experience. And so, you know, there are some people that are celebrating, you know, I have good friends of mine, Punky and Dave, and last month, or I think in August, they celebrated 19 years of marriage. And, you know, that's awesome. That's just not the way it seems to work for me. Or if it does, it just works. My pattern is just different. And, you know, me and Janine were talking, which I think it's, you know, really important to share, is kind of the understanding of our own patterns and the understanding to be true to the authentic pattern. Because I find when we're authentic, you know, it really is a flow and a movement that is so graceful that, you know, because it's not about moving so there's no challenge in my life, but it's about the time frame from which once I've integrated the wisdom from that challenge, you know, my goal is to flawlessly move into the next experience, you know, and I don't know if I'm doing that, but I'm doing that to the best of my ability that I just, you know, I feel really good about, you know, last week I was, you know, on my sovereign journey of being single, and today I'm very committed to my relationship with Scott and exploring us as a couple, you know, wholeheartedly. I know it's a paradox. I can't help it.
Life is a paradox, and you know the sovereign journey is also so powerfully learned by being in relationship, because there's such great challenge in relationship to, you know, I see that, you know, there's a choice, you know, when you're really devoted more to authenticity than you are to one or the other, but whatever authenticity is, that's where, you know, you go, that's where you show up. And I just think that, you know, the sovereign journey is the both end. It isn't the either or. I mean, I mean, that is the area where, you know, when I can really talk about this, because it isn't a one or another that is, you know, this is the path you should choose. I just think the true part is the magnetic pull, because the more true you are to yourself, the more you're magnetically pulled to where, you know, where your heart and your open is. And you know, that's what, I mean, I've been discovering this more and more, and I mean, you know, you would probably think, oh, you know, I'm sovereign. Well, yeah, I am sovereign, but completely open to life. So being open to life doesn't right declare me as one or the other. I'm just open. So, you know, there's no...
Such a good
point. There's no defining thing here, you know, and I feel very... it's funny because I feel very free and easy and... like graceful for you, because I was like, oh, that's really beautiful. But it's just like, that's it. It was like, oh, that's really beautiful. You know, but that's all. It's not like, oh, I let's really think about this, or, you know, it doesn't feel that way. And I know that the energy right now for me, even having gone through a couple of like very heightened 3 weeks of trying to get things done and, you know, all kinds of things, I am moving into a place where I'm like, oh, I feel a little bit more like I can be, you know, laid back and flowing and graceful. And, you know, I was almost like an athlete in training for a while. Like, and now I'm like slowing the pace down. And, you know, your news was just so, it's just like, oh, that sounds really beautiful to me, you know? And I think what happens is we let go of more and more that there's any one way or another. It's just, you know, those are all go out the window, so to speak, you know. And
I can say it's good practice to be doing that, because it definitely doesn't feel like right now, at least for me, that anything is 100% always, you know, just because I find a niche, it is just becoming more and more apparent that I don't know the time frame, but in any time frame, that niche can change. And the what was once serving me just is no longer serving me. And to be fluid with that really seems to be in alignment with, like, I feel nature knows that. Nature,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, just naturally expresses itself that, you know, okay, if we're in a drought, you know, I guess nature kind of, you know, supports its water being kind of close to on hand. And, you know, and if we're flooding, it kind of maybe opens itself up and, you know, lets it move through it easier. But, you know, it's like, you know, being in touch and in tune with everything around us,
mm-hmm.
because there's so much change going on internally. You know, I mean, that it's, how could it not show up externally in how we live our lives? It would be impossible to live the old paradigm and have it work when everything inside us is clearly, you know, new, you know, birthing, unfolding.
Yeah, and even in the George conversation that we had on Thursday night, I remember, you know, it's not really anything about the how it should be. It's how it is. And, you know, there's just this, I mean, I feel it. It's more the feeling, it's the moving towards, and it's not really even necessary for any of us to over-define it. You know, it's just, it's more, and, you know, we talk about that, the presence or the magnetism or the momentum or the, you know, it's, that's why, you know, and I had spoke about confidence, and confidence to me is being in the moment. And in the moment, when you told me, you know, how your weekend went and where you ended up, and I was like, it just felt in the moment. It was like, yeah, you know, it's like not even skip a beat. It was just like, yeah, you know, but that's when you're not in the brain or the mind, or you're just in the openness of the organic, you know, this is how life works. And it's like, well, how's that? And you're like, I don't know, I'm just feeling it, you know. And it's like, you know, so.
Well, and right, and it, I think that I can tell you from my perspective, mm-hmm. someone who was, you know, it's funny because I'm left-handed, so by nature, my right side of my brain is my strongest side. But I can really see how much, you know, conscious effort it takes for me to flip the paradigms of letting my mind make decisions for me and letting my heart make decisions.
Yeah.
You know, and I've definitely walked a fine line my whole life, but there's programs that, you know, it seems like they seek out the security of life and they seek out the comfort, and yet everything, you know, that's juicy and kind of worth exploring, especially in the space that we're in now and, you know, coming on to September, you know, late August 2012, never before has the magical been such, you know, a tremendous, you know, it can't be ignored anymore. It's not even just that we're noticing it. It's, you know, it's becoming the dominant, at least in my experience, the dominant of the dominant element where, like, life is about art now. It is, for me, it's not an equation waiting to be solved. That's the best way for me to put it. But I have for so many years thrived on being right, thrived on knowing what I was doing. You know, mm-hmm. even though I was breaking the laws and doing all that, but it's ironic when you're playing, you know, things against the law, you got to be on point so you don't get caught.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, there really is some consciousness to it. Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But there's a consciousness now, the same applicability, the same energy needs to be the focus of just follow your heart. And, you know, one thing that I really thought that was wonderful that we, you know, as a almost like a subliminal message on the show we did, the roundtable with George, was that, you know, following our soul, which is ultimately the aspect of ourselves that's creating everything, 100%, all of it, every single one of us, our soul is creating our experiences. We're just experiencing it. We didn't create it. From the personality level, we did not create our lives. Our souls did. This is my belief anyways. And the soul is not always looking to go after, you know, what feels good. You know, that is like, it's this, it seems the brain wants to make it, you know, it's got to feel good. It's got to have, you know, some sort of value from a society structure. You know, it's got to, you know, how many people have said to you, you know, what are you doing? Well, you're not going to make any money doing that. And it's like, you know, I don't need to make it. I need to make enough money. I got to tell the people without using any names. My ex-boyfriend is getting into one of these network marketings. Is that the name of it's like an Amway, you know, where you
not like a pyramid or I don't know what they're called.
Well, there's
like
an actual product. There's a product. It's
right,
a juice,
okay.
And I don't want to use any names. But he, you know, he invited me. He basically was like $150 a month, and I would get the juice. And then I would have to find two other people to also sign up for $150 a month to get the juice. And then when they did, my juice would be free because I would be making $150. And then I could grow from there. And, you know, it was so interesting because this happened this weekend, and Janine had family up. So we were kind of, you know, a bit in a blackout situation in that when her family's up, you know, I respect her time. And, you know, Goldie's walking that tightrope of life by herself. And I was just kind of laughing because the conversations where it took me to other people that are investing in all this, you know, it was all about when I used to work with Greg Norman, and he used to talk to me about we're going to become billionaires. And I could feel that, you know, it really wasn't about selling the juice. It was selling this warped dream, in my humble opinion, the warped dream of, you know, I can make you feel sick so you'll buy the juice and I'll get rich.
Yeah.
That was how I started seeing it. And I was like, because initially I was supportive of my ex because, you know, like I dig him. All my exes, I love them all, you know, all of them. Anyways, and so I said yes at first. And I was so glad when I called back the next. I said yes on Saturday. I gave her all my information, including Social Security number. And believe me, I don't give out that number to many people for many reasons. And when I called on Sunday, I said, you know, by any chance, did you put that order in yet? My order. And she went, no. And I was like, yes. And I was like, don't. You know, it was so clear to me that it was authentically. I just wasn't feeling. You know, because one of the things she kept saying to me, and she didn't even realize she was saying it to me, was you can't help the world unless you're making a lot of money. I mean, she said this to me two or three times. And I mean, everything in my body wanted to go, oh, really? You know, you might want to listen to the George interview we just had last week. But I didn't say anything because I was going to say to her, you know, you might want to get to know your clients before you sell the whole money thing. Because I went, you're not going to sell me with the million-dollar pitch. I mean, I was saying that to her. I go, listen, if I'm going to do this, it's going to be, I need to ingest the juice. I need to know the juice has properties that are going to make me wow. And, you know, if anything, I'm going to talk about how great I feel on the juice. Other than that, people are going to, you know, come as they will, you know. The days of Goldie soliciting people to sign up for things is so done. I'm so done with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was interesting because there was two or three things that came across my table, so to speak, of selling and the idea of healing work. And I'm not saying that all of this isn't wonderful, but it just really does not resonate with me anymore. That, because for me, the healing work is simply integrating my shadow. You know, sit with the feelings that are uncomfortable. That really is this a panacea that I know is working for me. And yet, you know, I get it because I get that it can be, if people are going, it's just not that simple. Like, well, but it can be. And For me, it is. And so I started recognizing that, where did I want to spend my time? And I literally was like, you know what? I'm gonna reach out to Scott. That was the moment after all this came down. I also went to a interfaith church on Sunday where they were selling victim consciousness. I mean, I was just sitting there going to myself, I don't support any of this, but I have to remember that there was a time in my life where I felt this way, where I was totally lost and I didn't know what was going on. So I honor it. I really do. But I couldn't, they were using terminology where it was all about the God outside of them. And we had to all help each other, because without the community, we were nothing. And these are just terms that don't resonate for me. You know, I was like, you know what? Where is my autistic baby who goes within naturally? I want sovereign people in my life, because I really feel that we can have relationships and still be on our path to where we need to go, but in a very different dance than some of the things being offered out there right now. Because there is a lot of people that want to manage the matrix. And for me, that's just not an option. I don't want to manage the matrix. I want to be birthed and graduate from the matrix. So.
Yeah, I was just when you mentioned the church and the victim consciousness and, you know, the all together thing, which, you know, there's, I'm not going to say, oh, support is great, but what I would notice is, you know, areas where do I lose or give away or deny my power in terms of, you know, your authentic self. And, you know, even if you were in a relationship where you were losing or giving away yourself or your power, that would be something to look at. But when you step into something consciously and know that the art between the two people is to interact, but really not try to undermine either each other, or, you know, or I mean, for me, loving behavior, you know, if you're both conscious of each other's behavior, there's no need for one to, you know, give away their power to the other or become, you know, not the underdog, but the church thing and the juice thing. To me, it was all of a sudden there was like this complete loss of power, and, you know, it just felt. You know, and it's interesting that two contrasting, you know, you look, you know, it's like you're open and they come into your universe, but it's like, you know, you're noticing right away was, no, that's not for me. You know,
well, and it really is. I guess I kind of have to say it's not for me, because I kind of have been there. You know,
and of course, I think that's part of the
process. It's important for me to say
too.
That. Yeah, no, it's
too.
Important for me
of
to say.
Of course,
that.
I mean, I've been there in relationship. I've been there, you know, in thinking this. Oh, this will be great. You know, and then you go, oh no, this isn't. You know, but of course, it's a process. You know, but it's
right.
Amazing when
right.
You become more refined to quickly feel that, no, this isn't for me. You know, I mean, that's what ends up happening. And you know, it doesn't surprise me.
Yes.
Because,
yes.
Right?
That's, no, right on. Because, you know, one thing I'm noticing, people seem to have difficulty saying no to things they don't want to do. I'm noticing this from reality TV to even what's, you know, just witnessing people, you know, just watching them, you know, when volunteering.
You mean like setting a boundary, like saying, no, that
yes.
doesn't work for me isn't easily done, because why? Because there's a reason for that, you know, there is.
Well, I think
why?
It's a lack of self, you know, when we're, the connection we have with self, because they're so afraid of hurting the other person's feelings that they sacrifice their own.
Yeah.
And you know, in my humble opinion, boy, strength from within. This is a journey. You know, George said it. I think it was George that said it. You know, the last great exploration is the journey within. You know, it's, you know.
But, it, you know, it's such an ancient knowledge, and yet, you know, it's still so current, and it's even more so now. I mean, you know, George is saying it, and yet that's been, you know, it's like know thyself, you know,
yeah.
Go inward. Go, you know,
yeah.
The answers are inside you, you know, and it's being said again and by George and, you know, others, but it's absolutely, see, I think when you do that, that's when that momentum and magnetism towards knowing, you know, and being able to set boundaries and saying, no, that doesn't work for me, thanks, you know, and be okay with that and just move on. I mean,
well, it's a game changer, to be honest, because, I mean, I can remember not being able to say no. I mean, because, I mean, one of the things that I'm starting to get just from a truth perspective, you know, and this is, I didn't expect this, which almost makes it that much better. Carla Turner, who is, she was a researcher into abductees, alien abductees,
yeah.
And I've been reading her books. You know, I'll be honest with you, there is a lot of information coming out in these that I'm reading that I don't have a conscious awareness of being abducted. In fact, I used to tell people, when I went on the spaceship, it was conscious. I did it consciously. But I'll be honest with you, there's unbelievable things that I'm reading about right now from these people who shared their experiences. And what's unbelievable is it's not the experiences that are triggering me. It's how they behave that I'm going, well, I do that. Well, I do that too. And I'm talking about, you know, from my preferences and the things I've done sexually to being petrified, being left as alone when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Numerous. I mean, it's not just like one or two. I'm like, I'm reading these things and they're talking about the effects on personality. And I'm like, one of the effects is one of the kids that was being abducted, he was like, on this obsession to know the universe. And he always seemed to come back to that the universe was, you know, there was going to be a dark side. And it's funny because I'm optimistic in everything, but I know, you know, the flavor I've always had was it's going to get very dark around here. You know, is everybody prepared? It's going to get very dark around here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to be clear that, you know, I'm not trying to ride a bandwagon and create, you know, something that's not there. But I'm also keen to something's there. And
yeah.
And it's an unfolding for me that, you know, in all honesty, makes much more sense to me to dive into this aspect of myself than to, you know, be selling the juice and you know, doing energy work at the health fair, and that's when I got, you know, Scott really fits in that world for me, you know, because it's the internal work that I can do, and you know, well, he's autistic. I mean, he's kind of got like this little stamp on his hand that gets him multidimensional, you know, just by his being, so.
Yeah. Well,
it's just really
interesting. You know, it also, when you come back, you know, from being apart, and then you come back even more consciously with almost a, you know, like an agreement that you're both even more aware now and you're more dedicated to that awareness. And, you know, it, there is growth there. I mean,
it's
not like a coming back to a pattern, you know, there's much more of an awareness now to me, and that is the art. See, that's the art, you know, where...
Right, right.
And so, you know, and, you know, I even said this when George and Cynthia and I, and you were getting, surprisingly, you know, relationships showed up, and it was very personal and intimate, and we all had different current references, and you know, I shared that my friend Angela Sarian, you know, not that she came up with the phrase, but that relationship is the highest art form. And it is, whether people know it or not, but it really is if you actually use it as that. You know, it is a high art form. It can be the ultimate, you know, sovereign learning place with another human being, you know. So, you know, to enter it, to say, let's be really conscious of how we are, you know, with each other, to each other. You know, I think that you know, that in itself is a big achievement, because there's many relationships, including mine, that, you know, that I tried that, but it didn't work out. And so, you know, I did leave, because that wasn't how I couldn't go back and do that, because it takes two, you know. And so, you know, so there it is. You know, if the opportunity shows up, like you, in your life, that you're like, oh, there it is, you know, back. Yeah. So I think that it's so funny, because I don't even, how is it possible? Like, I didn't even have a reaction, did I? It was just like, oh, it was just so, it just felt like maybe it was from the George and Cynthia and knowing you so well, but just was like, yeah, okay. I mean, that is life. See, that to me is life.
Right.
I mean, that's how it feels.
Right on.
Me.
No, right on. Well, and see, but you know, your neutrality is really, you know, a sense of mastery.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yeah.
the center, right? Because it didn't trigger you, and you didn't have to defend it. You know.
No,
you just
I don't know. I can't even, which is fun, because I like when I can't even describe it, because that's even better. You know, it's it just was. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know. It's just a funny thing. And it, you know, it's moving into almost that other place where, you know, I'll say playfully to Goldie, there it is. Because that's about all I can say. It's like, there it is, Goldie. But that is what it is. It's like, oh, this other way, you know, this way beyond, for me, it's like you can feel it, but I'm not quite sure I need to or want to or can describe it. But it's just...
Right.
But
no,
I can say,
right. Yeah.
But I can say one word that just popped up for me, which is, it feels natural.
Nice.
And so,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Natural is kind of neutral. You know?
Well, it is, in the sense that, right, it'll do what it does to be. I think nature balances itself inherently. It's just inherent,
like you said,
in nature
with the
is balance.
And the dryness and
exactly,
you know,
exactly.
Right.
The
so,
fires,
so,
you know, right.
Yeah, so this is fun, because I'll tell you, what I've noticed is we've been talking, you know, for months about this, but, you know, words are getting new definitions, and, you
yes.
know, popping up is now as natural as neutral, and it's and confidence is in the moment, and, you know, it's just, it's funny, because that's what I'm noticing, that there's this new paradigm of being, you know, that comes from being conscious and dedicated, but like you're just living, like you're, like you said,
well,
it's song,
a multi-dimensional
yeah.
awareness, because I really believe we don't have the words for it, because it's
clearly.
Not
clearly.
but I'm telling you, since the radio show with George, I mean, people are sharing wonderful, wonderful shares of their experience from the show and the timing of it, and I'm not even able to respond. Like I'm writing things down, but I'm telling you, it's like off a Hallmark card, mm-hmm. because my brain is not. I'm not plugged in the
right.
way. If to me it feels like. And I think George and Cynthia definitely, you know, when you're dancing in their energetic field for 4 hours, you know, hands down, it's an expanded experience. And it feels to me that, like, in that in-between period, it's like, really, there are no words for it. I can barely speak. I'm having a clarity that's just, from the inside, unmistakable. I mean, just like the sword is, I saw this picture. I got to post it. I didn't post it yet. But it was a picture of a statue where a woman was holding in one hand a sword and in the other hand the balance, scales, a scale of balance.
Okay.
And I looked at that, and it just spoke to me. It's like, you know, the truth balances, and, you know, here it is, you know. And I was like, because I can tell I'm living it, even though I can't speak it.
Right.
You know,
right.
But from what I got from everybody, you know, who heard the show, you know, because I definitely felt like I was having issues speaking clearly on the night of the show. But everybody, you know, everybody was like, oh, Goldie, what you shared was perfect. You know, because I'll tell you, everybody, here's what I recommend. Definitely surround yourself with very clear people if you're going to do a radio show that's going to get a lot of, you know, hoopla. Because then when, you know, when you're kind of going, the people around you are so flowing beautifully. People tend not to notice so much. And that's my secret. You know, I really do get there. There are times. See, it's a natural process. So, can I guarantee that I'm not going to be, you know, out of sorts during the big interview? Nope. Mm-hmm. Nope. And one of the things I got while listening to the playback the following day, which, in all honesty, I don't normally listen to my shows. They air, and I, you know, I pretty much let them go. Okay, they're on their own. They're doing what they're going to do. But because both shows didn't end at a perfect 2 hours, I had to listen, A, to make sure everything technically was okay, and B, so I could end it manually. And I was, like, beating myself up, especially in the first part, you know, like going, oh, my God, I can't believe how much I'm fumbling for words. And, you know, and then it just clicked to me at one point after the show. I was talking to a friend of mine. It was like, you know what? That's where you were, Goldie. I mean, that's it. That's where you were. And, you know, whatever the show is going to be, it's going to be, you know, because it's like you really can't. How do you portray the perfect world as whatever it is other than living whatever it is and being okay with it? You know, it's just and here's the catch 22 in a beautiful way. Thank you, Kathy. When you're in the space of accepting ourselves exactly where we are when it happens, there really is the extraordinary in the ordinary. I mean, it's there, and it's there in us every moment waiting to be birthed. And because it's not about robotically producing perfect shows, you know, it's about being showing up authentically every single time and being okay that it's, you know, that on one of the big shows, you know, you were a bumbling idiot. You know what I mean? Like, but, you know, really being okay, listen, you know, hey, catch me 2 weeks later. You know, I could be having a great flow. And, you know, so I was like, it makes me laugh because I tell people all the time, come on a radio show and start expressing everything you thrive or strive to be. And watch how the universe manifests all the challenges for you to get there.
Right,
you know, that's what happens. You know, we were doing a show integrating our shadow side. Geez, stunner. Goldie has to integrate the show itself. just for me, I've been doing this long enough to go, of course. But now here's the, you know, the goal, the wisdom of it. Can we just sit and be with the uncomfortable feeling? Mm-hmm. Accept it, but be with it. Because that seems to be what I'm seeing all around me, is how people turn their heads away and go, I'm not going to feel that. I mean, the word that keeps coming up around me is people going numb. If you're going numb, I invite you to really take a look at that as – as a, well, in the clarity of the power is in allowing yourself to feel.
Yeah, and showing up is everything, Goldie. Showing, I mean, we've said this, you just said it, it just came out of your mouth, you know, in the last 3 minutes, but showing up, I mean, because showing up, you know, even in that Patrick O'Neill blog that I shared, the ability to show up not knowing the outcome is so part of the process. It's courageous. It's what, you know, what else is there to do? And then what you notice is that, and this is the part where, you know, the attentiveness of, you know, the creative tension shows up, which is uncomfortable if we, you know, at first, because we go, but then you get to know, oh, there's the creative tension. There's bound to be something here that's going to be learned, broken through, you know, coming through the other side. That's why it's there. And
right.
So then you stay with it because it's like the invitation to integrate, because you can't integrate any other way but to show up and not know the outcome. And when the creative tension shows up and you go, I'm uncomfortable, stay with it, because that is an invitation. That is what
right.
you're there for. And then you go through it. I mean, I posted it on my Facebook page, this great article that Patrick O'Neill wrote. But, you know, I have been very curious and wanted to learn so much. Like, you know, you love the integration of the dark side. And on the same, it's probably the same version of that as to why I am so interested in the art of staying with and noticing creative tension. Because what I've noticed is, and George was saying this, the magic is always there. It's just, it's like, this is when we get really acute at noticing, oh, there it is. That's when the magic's going, I'm right around the corner. Just stay
right.
with it, just stay with
right.
it. You know, and, you know, and that's when, see, and that's another thing which pulls me to say, there's a tipping point where you really start to notice this in a way where there's a momentum, you know, and you know, and it's, and then, you know, even when it's hard, it's good, you know, it's like, even when it's hard, it's fun. It's like, you know, what you said something before, and I was like, yeah, isn't that like, I forget the word, but I was like, oh, paradox, like getting to know when you've met the paradox, like you were talking about earlier, it's like the you know, is the sovereign, or is it the sovereignty that you're not in a relationship, or if you're in a relationship, then you're not into the sovereignty, and then you've met the paradox.
Right.
And then this is part of my playful quality, but it's also from, I guess, my diligence, is that I find that paradox actually fun, because the paradox doesn't scare me. It's like, I'm like, there it is. It's like it's almost like finding
right
something hidden, you know, and you're like, there it is, you know,
right
and
on.
Yeah. And so but the showing up quality is paramount, you know, and, you know, so you showed up with the 4-hour show, you initiated it, you know, I was like, wow, 4 hours, you know, die hard. I'm like, well, okay, so, you know, and I'm going in my head going, well, I can make two. Okay, so then maybe the second show is going to be just an hour. And then, you know, Goldie's like, and then we're going to do two more. And I'm like, okay, you know, and, but and you created it, and we did it, and there it is, you know, it's like you initiated that whole, you know, that whole together thing, the coming together of all of us. And, it was great. And it was impressive for me even I go, God, we did it 4 hours, you know, it's midnight for me and Goldie. And, you know, we're just going with it. And the truth is as brilliant as George is and as advanced and wonderful and, you know, as Cynthia and George are, it was just like four people just dedicated to being themselves, you know, and
right
that
on.
Made it, honestly, that made it easier because this wasn't like the contest of, you know, oh, and someone's from Princeton and here we are from Stanford and, you know, who's smarter and what are we, you know, it just felt easy and it felt friendly and it felt, in, you know, open and inviting. And there were times even when George might, you know, might have said something like, you know, contrary to what, you know, you and I were presenting or you were presenting, but it didn't, it was fine. It didn't matter.
Right,
it was,
I agree.
So, it was impressive. You know, and just for the audience, you know, it's just fun because I'll just share that, you know, I was up till midnight with the show. That for me personally, I was like, wow, 4 hours, you know, we're talking to Australia. Then, you know, I went to bed at 1 o'clock because Goldie and I talked after, which was so much fun. Then I got up and did like 7 hours of straight cleaning because company was coming. But, you know, I was like a maniac, but it was like, if someone saw me, they're like, oh my God, but I was wild. I was so, you know, on a roll. Get out of my way kind of cleaning, you know, and fortunately no one was here. And then I went and did some therapy and, you know, I just was like charged, you know, you know, who would have thought that, you know, after the show I'd be doing 7 hours of incredible cleaning. But think of that metaphorically, really, you know, I was powerhousing through the house, cleaning. And, you know, isn't that amazing really? Because,
yeah,
you know, I always see things multidimensionally, as even George pointed out to us, you know, that we were having a multidimensional conversation.
Absolutely.
And we were. And then there I was doing some major house cleaning. So, you know, I'm sure my soul was like, you know, shining the next day.
Well, so, you know, and I think it's important that people see, too, that, you know, how is it going to manifest? I mean, because for me, I was... I was in a very different space than Janine was in. I was, but that doesn't mean it was less divine. It was just it manifested differently. No, yeah, no. Well, thank God I didn't have company. You know, because I mean, but see, this is the part I love is, you know, when you're talking about life and the organic life.
Yeah.
See, you can't put it into any boxes. You just can't. The minute you put it into a box, you've just artificialized it. It's not organic anymore. You know,
right? And I remember when you scheduled the show way back, you know, I don't know if it was June or whatever, and, you know, how's that look, Jay? And, you know, and I knew my sister-in-law said, yeah, we're going to arrive on the 24th, you know, her and her husband are 2 kids. And I was like, gonna do it, you know. And, you know, there was no question in my mind that, you know, that wasn't going to happen, that, you know, I was going to do the show and then the company comes the next day. Big deal. But, you know, it was, you know, there is a certain, you know, kind of like athleticism to it. Like, you know, you're like, it's endurance.
It is endurance. That I agree.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
And so, you know, so people are getting me tonight and I'm kind of like punchy, but it's good. You know, it's a good punchy. It's always good
when you're here, period. You're here, you just show up. I love it when you're here, and yes. But no, well, and, you know, it's interesting because, you know, when you speak about these things, it's almost like, was it me and you that once talked about, you know, the true nature of life? It's like, you know, if you speak about it, it's almost like there's nothing to really share about it. You know, it's a quiet little... Mm-hmm. Quiet little experience just happening. You know, the drama is what we're putting into the life and how we're turning left and, you know, feeling like we should be turning right. And, you know, all the tension is what we end up talking about, because when life almost seems like when it's flowing, you know, it almost, you know, like it just seems like it can be, you know, we would have nothing to talk about. You know, it's like, you know, having... And
yeah,
not because there's nothing happening, but because how do you word it? What do you say about it?
Well, I think, you know, just before when you spoke of the, you know, the rains and the floods and then the dry periods, and there's just this natural cycle and you know, I think that of course, you know, the creative noticing, I think one of, if people really want to think about this, that noticing, well, and this is almost like an old self-deception pattern where we either were informed or trained or, you know, somehow that, you know, that a creative tension was something to be afraid of. And so it isn't, though, because that's what I'm trying to say, that what I've learned is that you literally have a switch goes the other way when you realize that the paradox is not scary. It's incredible that the creative tension is there to actually show you, you know, where you can integrate, where the magic is. It, you know, that's how when I'm paying attention to someone and I'm listening to them, it's, I'm noticing where that is. And then I go, that's a good sign. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, that's it. You know, because naturally their tendency is to go away from that. It's like, no, this is good, you know. So that's for me, these are gems, you know, to share because, you live and learn. I mean, that's it.
Well, right.
You know?
No, right. Well, absolutely. It absolutely is. Well, live and remember. I mean, it almost seems like live and remember because.
Yeah. And you know, it's amazing. Like, as I was reading George's book on. Oh, that was another thing I was doing, everybody. Meanwhile,
meanwhile, back at the Batcave.
Meanwhile, back at whatever, you know. 2 days prior to the show and during the day of the show, knowing, you know, I was going to be going into major cleaning, I was reading George's book. And I was super dedicated to wanting to read the book because I wanted it to be current and I wanted to really know. I mean, I know George's work, but I wanted to know what the book said. And there were so many parts of that book where every page I was going, oh, that's so good. Oh, that's so good. And I thought his explanation, because you just said the word remember, I thought his explanation of how we move down the dimensions and we come to the one where we forget who we are, but we leave aspects of ourselves and everyone, you know, before, but that the one we're in now is the one where we forget.
Yes.
That to me was amazing. I mean, it's not like I haven't heard that before, but there was the way he wrote it, the way he, you know, whatever it was, maybe it's also, you know, me listening or ready for another way to hear it, see it. But really, that is so key to the whole point is to remember because we came into this to forget.
Well, that's why at that time it was to forget, but the time we're in now is definitely supportive of the remember. Right.
Right. And so that part, and you know, I don't know what page it was, but I thought, wow, that's really good. And I was trying to explain that to my sister-in-law this weekend when she was there.
Okay.
I think it's so truly the world is flat, the world is round moment. And she was saying, but why did we have to forget? And why? Wait. And I'm looking at her going, that's a really good question. I'm not sure I know the answer to it. But, you know, it was so amazing how the conversation.
Wait a minute. You don't know the answer. Well, can I try and
answer?
Why did we have to forget? Because when to go into separation at the level that we've gone into here, we really get to know ourselves. I mean, this is the place we get to know ourselves. And the thing about it is,
we know ourselves by forgetting so that we can remember?
In the separation, because you know what? People, and this is why most people don't want to acknowledge their shadow side, that they have darkness in them, because that's part of, you know, no, I'm a pure being. And it's like, well, you really do have pure qualities when you're the creator. But you know what? We wanted to really explore a dark side that I get the sense of, you know, in the other dimensions, everything happens real quick. You know, we think something, it manifests, we stop thinking about it, it basically goes back into, you know, a quark, or, you know, it's a wave, it's a particle, it's a wave, it's a particle. You know, there's no real substance in the sense of, unless we're putting our attention into it, that's the, our attention is the substance that creates the experience, where when we came down to this dimension, not only did we forget who we are, but everything lasted, even without our conscious attention. And that's how we really got to know parts of ourselves that were not just, you know, dark, the light too. You know, because it slowed it down, it became more dense.
Right, it's, you know, the compression. It's the compression.
It's the compression, exactly.
Right,
exactly.
And it is a it is another paradox, though. It's so interesting. To know yourself fully is to first you need to forget yourself and know separation in order to really find your who you are and your wholeness, which is so amazing. Which then I go, so Goldie separated from Scott to then go back to find your wholeness.
Right on. I mean, there it is. Well, and it, see, for me, that makes total sense.
Me too, by the way. I totally
agree. No, right on. Yes.
See?
Yes.
See, I was cleaning the house.
And
you were,
here's the key.
You were finding yourself in separation and then going back and said,
and it's a pattern that's in my life.
Right.
And, you know, I have other friends who are like, you know, well, you know, do you consider yourself failed at relationships because, you know, you've never had a relationship longer, you know, than whatever? And I'm like, no. You know, I go, because the ultimate relationship that I'm growing in is me.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing about, you know, if you, like, literally, that's, we've stumbled across it, but I love it that, like, Karen's question to me, well, you know, and then you just answered it so beautifully that, to remember ourselves, but then she probably would have said, because I think she might have, was, well, you mean we didn't know ourselves before? And, you know, these are really good questions. And, you know, I was sort of...
I think we knew ourselves, but we didn't have the experience that we have here. What we love about here is we get to experience everything. I mean, really, experiencing prison. I don't think we know prison in the higher dimensions.
Right, in this density, and this... Right.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. I get it. And it's so great because, as you know, me reenacting the conversation with her, which is post George, you know, where I'm, and, you know, we're so obviously, you know, I was
flying
very much
during that conversation, talking about the landing gear and stuff.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, what great stuff, because then it ends up showing up on tonight's show, which to me is then really reinforcing the whole paradox of, you know, there's a paradox, but there is no paradox, you know, that's it. It's like...
Well, because you can't get hung up on one side. You got to be...
The
fluidity and the malleability, that's what it's about... Knowing from a soul's perspective, everything's in divine order. And then in a moment later, sitting there feeling everything, feeling, you know, the fear, the anger, or
the
rejection.
The creative tension.
Yeah. Not being afraid to feel it, because it's about going through both spaces. Because, you know, I think what I like to do most of all is give validity back to the shadow side, because... Culturally, you know, our culture has clearly made it that it has no value. The pain has no value. Get a pill, buy a car, drink a beer. Don't you dare feel it, though, because it has no value. And it's like, you know, that is, you know, that's tainted information.
I called it earlier. It's a deception. It is.
Deception.
It's a deception.
That's it. Yes.
By either, you know, the outside world, and also, you know, self-deception and also external deception, and it is reinforced, and it really is where I find most people kind of, you know, that, I don't know if the word is quagmire, but, like, you get stuck in the quagmire.
Right.
Because you meet that creative tension, and then you stop, and you might meditate.
It's in the books. That Carla Turner, on some of the interviews, she goes... Mm-hmm. the people would have memories, the people that were having these, and they'd reach a certain point in the memory, and they would stop it. She'd go,
yeah.
I want to go on, but I just stop it. And it's like, you know, and we've all had that experience where it's like, you know what, enough. I don't want to feel anymore. I mean, all of my good friends have said that to me at one point or another, and I get it. I mean, including myself. Absolutely. And because I keep getting that it's not necessarily that we even have to move forward initially, but what I think is key is let's own that we're not letting it flow, just in an honest way. Like my flow still isn't back. I can just tell my mm-hmm. I have a clarity inside, but I verbalizing it just is I'm not at 100%. I'm still in whatever this thing that I'm in, you know, and it's going to reflect in my chat. So
yeah,
you know,
what?
It's gonna, it'll reflect in how I chat, how I talk about, you know, how I'm on the show tonight. It's I can just sense I'm not in flow. I can feel myself not in flow. So, but of course, what have I been focusing on totally lately is, okay, can you accept that then, Goldie? Just, in other words, nothing has to be changed, just has to be, you know, complete and utter acceptance, because I really believe in the acceptance, the change will come organically from my insides. I won't have to drink a juice. You know, or it'll shift when it's ready to shift, and you know, because it's interesting. I said to myself, I'm back in a space where I feel what I need to feel right now is more patience, mm-hmm. where I can tell that there are other times in my life where I'm feeling perseverance, and those are they you would think they're the same energy, but to me, patience is different than perseverance is when I'm moving forward and not getting what I want. Patience is when I'm not even able to consciously move forward because my faculties are not supporting me to move forward. So it's supporting me to just be here now. Just be.
Yeah.
You know, and when it's ready to move, you'll know.
Absolutely. Because I even recall when there's times like when I was even considering, you know, after one George video, you know, I said, oh, you know, I'm gonna just consciously entertain I am infinite, you know, and I remember then for the next couple of days I felt, you know, somewhat disoriented or just in another place, you know, and I think I was and then I find myself, and I was telling you this last week that there, you know, and where you are tonight is reminding me of that, or, you know, it might be.
Right. Similar. No, right on.
There's a place where, you know, it's not quite articulated. It's not quite describable. And that there's a reorientation going on, and you may even be prior to that orientation. You might, there's just, you're in process, and, you know, it's.
Right.
When people do, like, and, you know, I guess, you know, it could all be seen as sacred, but that when you're kind of deep in it, which is soul work, you know, that that's usually a little bit of a tip off that you are doing soul work, because it isn't really tangible. It's kind of like, well, I don't know. I haven't arrived yet. You know, I'm somewhere, but I don't know where. But it's okay. You know, it doesn't have to be described. But, you know, a lot of times that is deep work where there's something being stirred, you know, and to be okay with that. I mean,
well, that's where, because, you know, it's amazing, you know, all these shows, you know, I do a lot of radio, and it's kind of an interesting space to be where I'm at, you know, but it's authentic.
Well, that is the showing up thing, you know.
Of course, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting, just speaking that patience, perseverance thing, I can already feel my body relaxed a little because, see, for me, it's always about just get the clarity of the moment. If I could just get the clarity of the moment, for me, that just clicks me into, I guess, a groove that just feels more comfortable than, you know, like I'm skipping on a record. You know, and I'm not moving. And
well, I like it because it's like new territory.
Thank you. Yeah,
you know, you don't
is.
Have the map.
It is.
You don't have the map, you know. It's, and you don't even have the compass, which is great because it's like, this is
just... You just drop me in the middle of the ocean and go, I'll see you back at the hotel, Goldie.
No, but that is what it is, you know. It's like new landscape or new territory or, you know, soul growth. I don't know, but I like it, you know, because that's when you know. It's, you know, they even they'll say something like, you know, in the deep, you know, the silence, and it's like you can feel that, you know. It's like,
yeah.
How do you describe that? You don't. Mostly, artists try and poets try, and you know, we can sort of on a radio show. I think it's fun and beneficial, and it's part of what we do to talk about it, because I think these gems do show up, you know, as we're talking, like you even. Defining patience as opposed to perseverance, or, you know, me thinking, oh, no wonder it was neutral because it's natural, or vice versa. You know, these are the things that show up on a show that I'm like, oh, that's interesting. You know, I never said that before or never thought of that before. And same for you. So,
Yeah, and it is, you know, I think it's universal. I think everybody listening has had this experience on some level. I always say community is beautiful as long as we're all telling our own stories, you know, as opposed to, you know, it's almost like I said to a girlfriend on my phone, on the phone today, I think that The true teaching is, and I think George says this in one of his videos, is just sharing our own personal experiences and then having that apply in you know, kind of like the director's cut, you know, of other people's lives. Because, you know, I don't, the people who, you know, the psychics and things of that nature, I mean, I just kind of, there's so many people I know now going for psychic readings and stuff. And I mean, I just kind of laugh because, you know, it's almost like self 101 is that no one knows your journey really, but you, you know, the paradox, the journey is completely ours. You know, we can influence and we can walk side by side with people. But as I go within, the only one I'm taking within with me is me. The only one I'm finding within me is me. You know, it's this, you know, because I kind of get that, you know, like I try to share the art of transparency. Because I think that's an art that just, okay, I think all of us could benefit from that. But I don't know what you would be transparent about. You know, I know what I'm transparent about because... that one size does not fit all. Exactly, Kathy. Because, you know, it's hard because it's the detail. We get caught up in the inertia of the details. Mm-hmm. When the paradox, I get it. The details are interesting, but the paradox is when we really start kind of walking that director's perspective. You know, we're like, you know, Cynthia said, all life is a living virtue. You know, what virtue are you living, you know, in the moment? That's a director's cut. You know, when you get to the director's cut, you know, details become less important and you start getting more about, you know, the actions, what's going on with the actions. My cat wants to come in, so can you talk so I can walk away from the mic?
Okay, sure.
Thank you.
Well, I was thinking that when Cynthia said that was really... something that there were different surprises on the phone that night, but you know, it reminds me of what I just said, where Goldie's in a space that might be kind of it's kind of nonverbal. It's like hers. She's in it, but I said, and the Native Americans and Indigenous people see it this way, the Aborigines, where every process is sacred, you know, and so Cynthia, every moment is all virtues, and I think that is a truth. And so it's another place of deception now that I think about it, that we've, you know, learned that that's not true, because when she said that, that resonated so strongly with me as like, wow, that was a refreshing answer. And it
right
was
on.
A surprising answer. I loved it. And then, you know, it reminds me of everything is sacred. You know, what you're going through now is
exactly.
sacred. But all of our experiences are sacred, and all of our soulful, and, you know, and so there's no, you know, defining one moment
well, the
or
value,
another.
The value
right.
doesn't change
right.
because
right.
I'm not comfortable with what's going on. The value is still, whatever's going on is sacred, and I'm telling you, intuitively I get the sense that it has to do with this whole alien game.
Okay.
You know,
right.
I just get the sense, and beyond that, I don't know, but, you know, my attractions and where I've been feeling and sensing camaraderie, and where I'm looking at my life going, wow, that it almost seems like, okay, you know, I guess maybe to remember certain, you know, neurological things have to be plugged in differently, maybe. I don't know. And, you know, of course, as I know, I'll share it. but my sense is that, see, because this is something that I have found very interesting. When I was emailing Scott, I guess to put it bluntly, I knew three things in my own questioning within myself. I knew he was going to respond, initially he was going to respond negatively, but I knew from my heart that he missed me and wanted to get back together. And when the dynamic played out from that we emailed each other and then we didn't speak to each other until the following morning on the phone, it's exactly the way it played out.
Hmm.
And I couldn't help but go. Because, like, there was one point when I was waiting for him to respond to, like, my last, you know, like, all right, you know, I really love you, babe, and I want to get back together. If you're open to this, that's awesome. If you're not open, I respect that, and I will move on. And, you know, that was the email he left until the next morning. So I was lying in my bed, you know, literally going from, oh, my God, to, you know how this is going to work out. You know that he misses you. You know that he wants back. I could feel it. And I ended up really breathing that, going, so, you know, just witnessing the mind going schizophrenic and the heart going, just play patience. Let this ride. Because I could tell at one point my mind was like, call him now. You know, and it was like, you know, back off, brain. You're not in charge here, and I'm not going to do that. Because it was, the panic was the brain.
Yeah.
But the heart, the head, the soul, whatever, it was what I just knew. And it really did develop exactly, you know, when we spoke the next day, you know, We got some very, you know, deep issues for him and me cleared, and an awareness pointed that's where, you know, from my point of view, I'd like to focus, keep our attention focused on these deeper feelings, as that's part of the relationship growing into its next level. I mean, we're growing, and it was interesting because when I went to show Facebook that we were in a relationship, I put, you know, Scott and Goldie are in a relationship, and Scott goes, we're not married anymore? And I was like, I go, no, babe, we're still married. I go, but, you know, let's be in a relationship, and then on New Year's, let's do another ceremony. You know, let's honor the newness, mm-hmm. and then let it lead us back into that. Because, you know, it was interesting. It was because we did the ceremony that I knew we were still connected, that it wasn't, I knew it was like, and that message I got from the phone that day in the woods when he was so jubilant, you know, that was really the message that told me, you know, there's still a relationship to be had here. You know, it's going to take some maneuvering, but, you know, if you want it, you can have it. And what was really fascinating was Scott had taken an ex of his back, like, I think, 8 months or a year after they had broken up. In fact, he left me to take her back. And we had, he spoke to me about it, and he goes, you know, when Michelle came back into my life, the very day she walked into the house, he hugged her. He knew it wasn't right. And yet, but it took him 2 years to end it. But for those 2 years, he lived a lie. He knew, and I said to him, I go, I said, let's put that to the test. I don't need 2 years to, because if this isn't right, then we're not going to have the strength to get through what we need to get through. This has to be right in order for us to go to the next level that, you know, we're saying we want to go. So let's, you know, because I was going to buy lunch, and I said, forget all that. I'm just going to come over, and let's embrace, and let's see how we feel.
Mm.
And, it was, the first thing that was so interesting was I had bought him some half and half, so I put it in his fridge. He was still upstairs, and the first thing I saw, and Janine, you'll appreciate this, he planted the three plants.
No, I do appreciate that.
I knew you would. So I saw that, my heart immediately opened. You know, he came down and, you know, he had his cup in his hand. I was like, put the cup down. And he's like, okay. And I went, you know, let's just hug. And you know, we cried. And it was an amazing embrace. Without him saying a word, I knew we both felt it. I mean, I knew it. I could feel it. You know, but then it was like, okay, well, let's, you know, how do you feel? And he's like, I feel good. I was like, I feel good too. And, you know, and then we had to just get some, you know, some of the awkwardness, which again, which is kind of funny because all of this is being created on a time where, you know, talking to him is no easier than talking to you guys tonight. It, you know, how funny, but isn't, see, there it is. There's that, I had posted a post today going, you know, the deeper I go into myself, the more I recognize that we've got to be willing to let ourselves kind of go, I mean, for lack of a better word, go insane. You know, lose control.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Explore the unknown from a space that just is absolutely nothing like you would think yourself to be in, a place of, you know, strength and confidence and poise. Because all of this going on this weekend, at the time I can least form a thought, I find very interesting because it's forcing me on some level to trust other ways that I experience life, which one, the major one being, I trusted it. I said, if Scott wasn't feeling it, then my soul wasn't supporting it and his soul wasn't supporting it, then that would be my answer, and I would continue to work on, you know, healing and being sovereign and getting over him. But I wanted to know that my soul didn't support this. I was willing to face that rejection because I was missing him. So if there is support in this, okay, let's get back on that wagon. And if there's not, I really was like, I trusted that if he didn't feel it, then that was a truth because it was felt. You know, it almost seemed more, had more integrity than any kind of bullshit we could say to each other.
Yeah. Do you think that go insane is that willingness to become undone? Is the willingness to not know the outcome. You're in it. You're in. You know. You let go. You're undone. You know. And you know.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, and it's also you know, control, I guess, you know, is the opposite of trust. But I was just thinking that, you know, that innate Nin saying where, you know, life expands or shrinks in proportion to one's courage. But I think the courage to go insane or the courage to be undone or the courage to put yourself in the hot kitchen or to, you know, to risk rejection or whatever, I think that,
Or allow the paradigm of the world is not flat anymore to be, because I think we're starting to prepare for paradigm shifting in human consciousness. That's what I think is going on.
Well, I think you're right, and I think that's occurring, you know, as we speak. I mean,
I agree. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Paradigm shifting is, really happening. And, you know, and that's another, for me, it, one of the indications is that you almost, or I, find myself, it's like reorienting. Because the,
over and over,
because you're in these new paradigms, which are really new. They're new. They're timelines. They're just, and you know, there's a reorientation that goes on, you know,
right on.
So I think that happening. And, you know, I think that's what we're displaying tonight, you know, is.
Well, and I feel really good. It's so funny. There was a shift in me about 9:03.
Oh.
Can you feel it? I feel back in that, okay, nice. The message is being clearly expressed.
Yeah.
That's always my intention. And I love the paradox of, you know, I can't form a sentence, but the paradox is, but the message, in not forming a sentence, I can still clearly express the message, especially with the help of you. But I think it's also with the help of the consciousness of the whole audience.
Mm. Yeah, because it's so funny, because I'm so comfortable and easy with you in whatever way that I, you know, if it's like we're flying together, I don't even know that you're flying erratic or anything.
That's beautiful. Right on.
Right. So, you know, you say that, I'm like, really? Is that what you said? Because I didn't notice it. You know, you know, that's funny, right?
What's really funny is, trying to get this across in a very challenging way, all being incredibly divine.
Are we
in a Woody Allen movie?
But see, this is such a natural place for me that I think we're doing just fine.
Right on. I agree. No, and I do feel that. I really do feel that. You know, and
yeah,
I hope that people get the clarity of their own journeys, you know, that,
yeah.
Because I think that's part of the art and the mastering is integrating the parts that scare us, that anger us, that, you know, are painful to us, without changing them exactly as it. So we've got to find the good inherent in the dark. I mean, you know, in all honesty, I don't think you can really talk about this as much as we can just simply live this. Because I can clearly see, you know, it would not be a good thing to talk on the radio if you can't form a sentence. That's just probably not a good thing.
But, you know, but that's true. But that's why when there's two, you know.
That's true. It's definitely helpful. That's true, because one gets to be off while the other one can shine. That's definitely true. I agree with that.
Or, you know, you're living live processing, and, you know, the cycles are, you know, what the radio shows actually are depicting. You know, I'm comfortable with that, you know, and that's my willingness to really be comfortable with the insane and to allow myself to, you know, walk that fine line of sane and insane and go in the middle of nowhere, so to speak, in the landscapes or new realities or paradigms. I mean, that's just, you know, I think that is what we're offering, you know,
and for everybody. I mean, that the beauty is, this literally is an acceptance everybody to, you know, it's the universal salve for the times we live in. Is, you know, whether like it or not, consciousness is changing. You know, within us is changing. So the tools and that which we need is changing. You know, how we survive, thrive, and express ourselves is changing. You know, and I have been saying this for a while. The blueprints of reality are changing. So clearly that's going to mean our relating and experiencing in it is changing. You know, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's going to be days where, you know, Oh,
what happened?
My mic fell down.
Well, you know, I think what you said is so true. That, you know, okay, so even in this conversation tonight, if this is a helpful place to, you know, be more comfortable or allow that or know that there are paradigm shifts occurring now. They're occurring for each person. They're occurring for, you know, if you're aware, and it's really to be, it's helpful to know that that's what's happening and to be ready for it.
I agree.
You know, there is a story now, you know, because I know that, you know, information has kind of come our way, and, you know, and it's good to be a skeptic, right? But
I'm saying this, but
I'm not saying it as if I know it to be true, but metaphorically speaking, it's even good if it's not necessarily a fact. But I heard this story about when, and you have your own version of this, so I heard this story about when I'm thinking they were Spaniards and they were on boats and they approached the coast of South America, that because the ships were really unidentifiable to the indigenous people because they literally hadn't had in their thought processes the idea of a ship or what a ship looked like.
Right.
So that literally...
Right.
Now, this is a story I've told, but it makes sense to me in terms of knowing new perceptions or new paradigms or being aware of paradigm shifts that, you know, or maybe even the second sun thing or whatever that,
right.
You know, or a lot of things, actually, that, you know, that the indigenous people literally were looking out at shore and they didn't see the ships at first because it wasn't something they ever saw before, so they didn't. It wasn't something recognizable, so they literally didn't see them. Now,
right.
So you have a story where somebody looks through someone. Did you tell me that story?
The one with the watch under hypnosis? That?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it just reminds me, though, that, you know, deception or perception or, you know, what you could start opening up to. See, I think even that's part of the insanity is mostly the willingness to see what we haven't seen before, you know, and the more you get okay with that or comfortable with that to go, because that's really what's happening. So, you know, it is the world is flat, the world is round times, you know, thousands or millions or 100, you know, could be happening every day now. You know, the world goes from flat to round every day, maybe 10 times. I don't know.
But I think the paradigm that's actually happening now is we are going from one-dimensional to multidimensional.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what we are opening up to. And, you know.
Or that we at least now are perceiving it because we've, you know.
That's what I mean. Right.
Yeah.
The perception is what's changing. Not right. We've always been multidimensional.
Exactly.
Right. But now we're becoming aware of ourselves on these different, you know, levels and dimensions. And we feel vulnerable because, you know, there are beings that are, you know, masterful, you know, powerful beings that, you know, they've clearly learned how to manipulate the dimension. But the wonderful part about it is there's this underlying element called presence.
Yeah, and
all those dimensions.
Exactly.
All those beings. Once you know that, then, you know, in my humble opinion, no matter what dimension you're playing in, find presence. Because that's the ally.
Right, or just even the game changer of knowing that paradigms are shifting and that, you know, the boats you didn't see before on the ocean you're going to see now, you know, that kind of thing. You know, like finally, I think one of the shamans went, you know, they went, wait a minute, well, I see something, you know, and then when he described it, then the tribe started to see it. You know, but it took someone at first to notice it who probably had the capability of, you know, of seeing beyond the known paradigm or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, so I, you know, I just think that on some level, that is a theme of, or a thread of this show tonight, you know,
We have a caller. You want to take a call? Let's take a call.
Sure.
Yeah, I've been on the chat room, which is on another page. Hi, area code 705. You're on the air.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Hi.
Is this Marcia?
It is.
Yay! I thought it was you. How are you?
Hi, Marcia.
Guess what? I am 26 days, no smokes.
Hey, wait a minute. That deserves. Nice. Wait a minute. Ready?
And
Marcia. Wait. Listen. Yay! We support that. Okay, go ahead, love.
And I've had been doing a lung cleanse and drinking Bengal spiced tea in the morning and eating all this food, really being with, it's surprising. I've been sitting here listening about, authenticity and shifting dimensions and, being willing to embrace, the new paradigms, which there are many paradigms.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. And on the weekend, as you were talking about that, recently I kind of ran into a paradigm where I'm like, wow, I've known her for a long time. I've quit smoking now, right? So everything is cleaning out, and apparently my vibration looks beautiful, more vibrant and everything like that. I feel like, oh, great, I don't have to brush my teeth to kiss my grandkids. Because they always say, Grandma, did you brush your teeth, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
I go, no, I didn't, just a minute, right? Anyway, I went and was surrounded by people. There was a powwow this weekend, and friends had came up, and they were selling at the powwow their native, and so I went with them because they asked me if I wanted to go, and it's kind of nearby, so there's many people I've known for 20 years, and this one woman who I've ran into for I'd say 20 some, she's early 80s now. And I was told, take this tobacco with you, that she had gifted me. And then I was bringing it to her back. I had prayed with it for, I think, 1.5-2 years.
Oh, wow.
She's at this powwow. I think, okay. And, okay, I'll do that. That sounds good. And introduce her to your friend, right? I said, okay, I'll do that. So I am protective of my friends who I've come to love, because maybe these other friends may not honor them the way I do, because, everyone loves however they can,
right.
And not everybody is right in touch with you where they love you, like what you and Janine have this great flow, and you come on the show, and it's obviously really sisterly, right? Say that other people can't have that, but it's like with you to a certain degree, but not the same way she can, so anyway, I went off to find this grandmother, and I thought I saw her, and I thought, oh, maybe that's her sister, because she was smoking, right? Maybe that's her sister. And I'm thinking, is that her? And she would look at me, right? And her name, is Thunderbird Woman. She's full blood, right?
Wow.
So I'm looking at her, right? And you'd think this woman, by the way, you would think this woman, Thunderbird woman, is really tough, right? Possibly?
Yeah.
Well, tough on the inside, anyways. Not necessarily boxing tough.
But I mean, the name has the power to yeah.
It. Well, clearly, yeah, right. But transformational. It sounds like she's transformed herself. That like the Phoenix. You know, she's been through a lot.
Yeah. So she can take, you can maneuver
right.
Her garden all you want. Gonna look at you and go, pile it on, baby. I've seen lots.
Right, and she'll grow roses from it. You know, I mean, she'll.
Yeah, and she will, you know. I met her when I was about 28, 29, and I was pretty livid. out of nowhere, I'm in this office, well, white girl, what would white girl, I'm going, have to say today, because obviously, and I was telling my friends this story, right? Like, I just talk flat out. I don't hide any emotional thing or anything like that. I do everything I can not to dump on people, not making myself out like I'm perfect. But, you know, once you hit about 50, you have to stop.
Yeah. Well, you become aware that it just doesn't serve ourselves. I mean, that's the truth.
Yeah.
That
and the grandkids start training anyway up. If the kids haven't done it all, the grandkids do. So, this little Thunderbird woman, she sees me in this office, and I'm going, well, what could white girl have to say? Blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, here I am, white, so, I mean, what kind of opinion would I have? You know, I've been colonizing people. And I was really, really, you know, because everyone's talking about how they're going to connect with the elders and whatnot and all this stuff. And quite frankly, in my family, we had older people, but not necessarily elders. Well, a couple.
Right.
And it was, you know, based around church, so it wasn't going to work for me. But out of nowhere, I just felt this little hand touch my arm and give me a little pull and say, oh, I would never say anything like that. Come with me, dear. And pulling me into her office. Right? So I go sit down, and she's all totally, you know, wearing these black clothes, and she looks at me really deep, and I think, and I still had that hot fire going, you know. And she didn't put it out. She just smiled. She said, we're always given just what we need, aren't we? You know?
Right on.
And
that's it.
And here we are. You know, I'm not 28, 29 anymore, right? I'm in my 50s, and I still know her. And she's this really, you know, amazing woman, and who I did not recognize. And I asked her, this is me. Hi, I'd like to ask you, you know, I'm looking for a woman, name is Sue Anderson Kelly, and I was just wondering, are you her sister, or, you know, and she looks at me, and I said, my name's Marcia. She goes, yes, Marcia, I know who you are, it's me, Sue, and I went, oh my God. You know, I told her I had the tobacco and everything was right in sync with the feminine, you know, things that it came into her life, new tasks and whatnot, that it came in and gifts and bundles that it came in, all pointed towards, you know, serving the feminine now.
And, yeah, right on.
And
right on.
Was, oh, but I mean, the whole thing, imagine. I may as well have been, you know, watching the ships come in on the shore. Going, what's that? You know, I didn't.
Listen,
even
I'm telling you, everybody. I mean, on some level, I think we're all kind of going through a rewiring. You know, and
I don't. That is the whole thing. The people that I've met, because I didn't walk and go, But I didn't recognize her because I quit smoking. It took 2 days, seriously, of maybe I should get some smokes. Mm-hmm. Because I would never have seen her.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, that is scary that I wouldn't have seen her when I was 28 because I didn't smoke. And it could have been easily done because I just kind of once in a while smoked then. Like,
can
you imagine? I would not have seen her.
I wouldn't have recognized her. If you were still smoking?
If I wasn't. I didn't recognize her when I quit smoking.
Okay.
So I'm like, what the heck is that?
Yeah, what is that? That interests me.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't call it, let's not call it weird. Let's, you know, interesting is good. You know, I mean, because, see, what I'm starting to get is, see, every change we make,
mm-hmm.
if we're multidimensional, you know, it's like new timelines. These are what might seem like, and I'll be honest with you, I personally found quitting smoking was like one of the most major turns in my life. And I say this from the perspective of it was when I started feeling that I was supporting myself to be on the planet. I mean, it was a change that really is life supporting. You know, it's a pull that the matrix, boy, I mean, I've done a lot of drugs, alcohol, all sorts of stuff. Nothing had me by the balls like cigarettes. Like, oh my God, this, it just, I really had to have some presence of self to finally get that a deep breath without nicotine was a beautiful thing. And I didn't get there from, I'm in no way an anti-cigarette person. I mean, Alana's boyfriend comes over, you know, here's an ashtray. I mean, you know, I'll open the windows, you know, but because I didn't leave it in a hatred. I really left it from just the space that my soul went, okay, we've gotten everything from that experience. Let's now go beyond it. But I'll tell you that when we make those kind of changes, it shows you that how much really is changing when we're integrating, in all honesty, anything that's going on right now and everything. It's almost like we were saying how everything's sacred. The value of the not smoking is showing you there's a, you know, you're different. You're not the same you because you didn't recognize her. But not from a negative. It's, you know,
no.
This isn't, it's because
yeah.
it's a new you. It, you know, it seems like we're birthing ourselves anew, you know, on some level, just with the shifting of the paradigms of integration, of whatever the integration is.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I remember saying to you last week, Goldie, something about, you know, similar to like how I feel Marcia's, you know, situation. I said, you know, when for me, I was going, you know, I think the paradigm of disappointment is literally gone now. It just, you know, there, and it's almost like whatever disappointment did for me or what it, you know, and I'm saying that not, you know, not 100%, but I just noticed I was saying that to you last week. And I think that these things are with us for reasons, and then they go because we got what we needed from it. Like the woman said, we get what we need, Thunderbird woman. And Goldie just said the same thing. Like, I got what I needed from the smoking, and then it was gone. And I'm thinking, these are paradigms in a way because, you know, the paradigm of rejection, the paradigm of disappointment, the paradigm of, you know, I'm smoking, and then I'm not. And then it's some whatever that was, and then you move into or out of, and it just feels like it is a different paradigm because whatever that was, it's no longer, you know. And so,
right
so for me, it does feel more than just like, oh, I just stopped smoking, or I'm thinking, gee, I don't seem to find that feeling of feeling disappointed. It's like, I'm like, I noticed that. I was like, huh. You know, and I'm thinking, well, you know, so was disappointment maybe like smoking, but now I'm not smoking anymore. It's just now I don't feel disappointed, you know. And
right.
So these are just noticings that I'm thinking. And, yeah, I find that interesting. You know, I find that like seeing the shifts or, you know, or the shift in today, the, you know, there's a new, not the world is flat and round because we know it's round, but these kinds of new awarenesses or new, they no longer serve us, the paradigms, or if we've outlived them or they just go almost like deactivated or something, you know?
Right, or it's encompassed within the new paradigm. It's just, you know, it's almost like
right. We're
remembering more. So now we're not just remembering that we're round. Now we're also remembering that there's other levels of dimensions of beings on planet Earth.
Right,
you know,
right.
there's Shambhala in the fifth dimension. You know, just to use that as the example
there's
is that... There's multiverses. Well, and when we think about it and we start becoming aware of it, we're going to really start getting just how influential all our universes are to all of us. You know, I mean, when George was saying, you know, when we have an argument or something that we clear it up between two people, you know, on some level there's a universe that now has as its base essence, you know, instead of maybe being a warring planet, it just became a planet that's, you know, shifted into a peaceful existence because you know, person A and person B got, you know, had a shift in their, you know, had an acceptance of who they are, you know. And think of it, imagine like, you know, the warrings that go on from like Libya and Iran and Iraq and, you know, all these places that are so inherently known for, you know, the separation of the masculine and the feminine and the separation of the borders, and it's, you know,
all
this fighting. And, you know, there's the shifting going on between them, you know, where, you know, I'm reading stories about, you know, all of them sitting down at table. Oh, that was from your guy, the article you posted from...
Oh, with Patrick, yeah.
Patrick, yeah. Where they're all sitting down at the table, you know, listening to each other, becoming, you know, understanding that kind of we're all self, and this isn't just happening on planet Earth. This is a fractal that it's actually happening now in galaxies and planets and star systems, and you know, it's like we're really coming out of the limitation fog.
Yeah, that really is beyond the world is round and you know, paradigm.
Oh, yeah.
And I really love that when two people kind of, you know, come together and out of conflict, they you know, they settle it or they come to an agreement. I love that that's two universes coming into a peaceful time versus a warring time. I mean, that is, I heard George say that, but you saying it again, just, I got more out of it. And, it's so great, and it's so multiverse, and you know, I just saw it in such a different way just now. It's like I saw the ship.
Well, it's changing everything. Well, and that's it. I love when you share, Marcia, because it's like it gives us a, you know, it's like, you know, not recognizing somebody. How many people would go into, oh my God, you know, I must be getting Alzheimer's, or I need to go to the doctor and get a pill, you know? And it's like, you know what I'm saying, where they just immediately go into the panic that something's wrong, as opposed to, you know, let's just sit with this. Because I told Janine this before the show even started. What I really wanted to invite everybody listening to start doing in their own experiences is start asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And all you did was question it, going, "Wow, what is that? I couldn't see it when I wasn't. So, what? You didn't make it good, bad, or indifferent. You made a noticing of it, and then inquired about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, in my humble opinion, and from my own experiences, that is incredibly powerful for all of us to do at this point in time.
Why do we, you know? I'm finding that, by the way, I ended up in the hospital. Oh, yeah. That's how I quit smoking. Like,
I see. Okay.
Pretty crazy. And they basically told me, well, we told you years ago, you know, I'm sure you were told years ago, you have to quit smoking. And what is going to happen? My lung capacity was, like, gone, right?
Okay.
So here I am. I'm defying all medical possibilities. There's no wheeze. There's nothing.
Nice.
No. There's nice. Nothing. You know, I've had ceremony, and I'm doing ceremony, and I think, you know, laying down on the couch, not being able to get up, you know, limping over to the chair, going to town and having to have Joe bring me home because I just can't do it. I had no energy. I had no memory. I had people offering. Can you imagine people who are ill being told that, you must be depressed. There are some.
Oh, blessed be the Western medicine. They're such knuckleheads.
And I'm thinking, no, they are doing this to people who have learning disabilities, medicating. They are using every opportunity to medicate people. And I was shown so much, I could write books on this. Like, just absolutely horrifying. And I lost my place on that.
Actually, though, we're coming up to the top of the hour, and I just want to end on a positive note, meaning you have so much to share, Marcia. Because it's so interesting. You just triggered me, to be quite honest, when you were talking about the doctors. See, that was another thing I got. Like, I've hated doctors since I was a kid. I mean, just inherently did not like that. And I'm raised Jewish. I mean, shit, half our family is doctors. I didn't like doctors. And, I mean, just to throw this, you know, conversation into a whole other space, I really believe it's because something was going on in these abductions with me that was making being on a table being examined not a good experience for me.
Right.
And I think that's that way for a lot of people. You know, because I think, you know, as George put it, as above, so below. What we're doing to animals, you know, that everybody kind of knows about, there's a level of a fraction of beings doing to humans that some people know about, but not everybody. Even though when I think about how could some people know and not everybody know, when ultimately there's an influence and a communication just from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
If that which somebody knows, everybody has the potential of knowing. You know, it's there in the universal mind for all of us to know.
I think, though, as, you know, there's lots of things that are coming out, and lots of things that people politely avoid, and lots of things that people never see.
And
I feel that, you know, it's good because it's compassionate. There are some people who, quite frankly, could not handle it. They would take their life. And I feel that the ones who, you know, whatever it is, information that people can handle in their body, right, in their mind, with their heart, and they're slowly being prepared. And, you know, unless we're prepared to stand and help that person, walk that person through the transformation, it's best to let them find out as they need to. If they're going to pick up that book, whatever it is, it's not that ignorance is bliss. It's just that I've seen people who cannot live with that thought.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. And I understand it. And I'll be honest with you, I agree. Even though I feel like at some level, some people need to be just nudged a little. Because we can get into our little rut where we're like going, I can't do this. It's like, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because more and more of us are doing it, are facing this. Because it's becoming, to me anyways, more and more clear that time is running out for us to be ignorant of this paradigm shift. You know, it's happening internally. The truth is emerging internally. So, you know, it's just about being in flow with what's actually, you know, arising within us.
Yep.
So, but I honor what you say. I do, because I do agree that not everybody, you know, I'm personally, from a people watching point of view, am very curious. You know, whenever I'm in a crowded space, like I went to a car show on Sunday, I just watch people because mm-hmm. I find it fascinating what's going on with the people. You know, what are they talking about? You know, just as they walk by, are they talking about the cars? Or are they talking about deep things? Are they in fear? Are they comfortable? You know. Just watching people, because, you know, the Mystical Mother Earth show has begun. There's no stopping it.
It's right. And it is about, the paradigm shifts are here, and I do think people in their own timing, you know, some will see quicker than others or feel quicker than others, but I think that the compression time is here, and so there's a sense of, you know, there is a sense of not urgency, but it's definitely escalating, and you know.
Well, that's why the medication.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They've dragged medication out to either A, cover it up, disempower, or just, you know, push down those emotions, and then they discontinue the wake up call.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, disempower is a big one, and then also just like the juices Goldie was talking about, money really does, you know, come in crazily, which, you know, okay, so we knew that, and that's not
right.
New.
Yeah,
so,
because now the physicians have a kickback from the drugs they
they've had that for a while, Marcia. Ever since the HMOs came out, that's what that was really a setup for.
Yeah.
You know, but I'll tell you, like, you know, like we said earlier in the show, presence trumps it. You know, it's like I had a gentleman, William Whitecloud, on the show a couple of years ago, and he told me it took him like 45 years to come to a point where he was near death. I mean, his body had barely any energy coming in. It was squeezed off. It was tangled. He was leaking energy. I mean, physically, energetically, he was a mess. And when he had his awakening, you know, he goes within like a day. And then within 5 days, everything went back into pristine as soon as the energy started flowing again. So it's almost like there's divinity to taking us to the point of, you know, that broken, which isn't... Broken could be very much a part of the way back up, because what's breaking is that which no longer serves. You know, it served in the old paradigm, not in the new.
So,
and it's kind of just, you know, like we're saying, ride with the tide. Notice everything, question things, you know, and if at all, try and stay neutral about, you know, nothing's inherently good or bad anymore. It's just an experience that, you know, is flowing into another experience, flowing into the wisdom of our lives, which is changing radically.
Well, I had a conversation today with one of my friends who's full blood from Oneida, New York.
Okay.
And we were talking about Wiccan and pagan things, and I said, hey, you know what? Your page, you're linked up with a great rite. She goes, a what? And I said, well, I know I had to look up that too, look up what all the stuff means. And she goes, well, what is that? And I said, so I told her about, you know, Beltane and great rite, and she was like, what? apparently, you know, I didn't know. I know you, so I know you didn't really know what it meant, because it's not been where you're from, right?
Right.
And I said, I would be invited to things, and I'd have to, well, what is it? And I'd go home and look right on the computer. Okay, well, no, I don't think I'm going there. And so she's like, really? You're kidding? Oh, well, give people something to think about. I said, yeah, they'll think about a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, all of us, right? I mean, it really is. That's kind of the microcosm, macrocosm. I think planets are rethinking life, and
yeah.
I think and beings on planets are rethinking life. I think beings in planets. I think the water itself is rethinking life. It really is. The whole friggin' paradigm is rethinking life, and in the sense of experiencing this process that we're going through organically as well as artificially. It's all happening. Listen,
mm-hmm.
I'm afraid we're going to get cut off. It's 5 after 10. Yeah. Marcia, thank you so much for calling
Marcia.
In. Yeah. Your energy is fabulous.
Okay, guys.
We love you.
You ladies. you guys have to go.
What?
It was a gender thing. She's supporting the feminine.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. I love listening to your stories. They're great.
And
me
I
too.
Love
me
listening
too.
To you, ladies. Both your stories are great.
Aww.
Love your
great.
Energy. It's great.
Love you too, babe.
Thank
love you.
You. Take care.
Okay.
Jimmy, don't hang up before. Give people where they can find you. I want people to always have.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you, Goldie.
Of course.
Okay, I have a website, jlkimmel.com. That's KIMMEL.com. And another website is springtreepress.com. And I have a new book out.
Exactly. Talk about the Yawning Rabbit. Yes, where they can find it.
The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle. You can go on Amazon.com, but if you go on springtreepress.com or jlkimmel.com, you can find the book, and then you could hit buy it at Amazon, and that would be wonderful. And it's a great story, and Goldie and I are going to talk about it sometime soon. So
yes,
thank
when
you.
Goldie's
thank
able
you.
To form a sentence.
right. But it's a fun story.
It's a great story.
I've been working on it for quite a while, and I think everyone's going to really get something out of it.
It's a beautiful story.
From
right
9 on. Years old and up.
You're too much.
Right.
I love you. All right. Facebook us, Golden Hawk Feather. You can find Janine there. And we'll talk to you soon. We'll see you next week or maybe even sooner. Who knows? Either
yeah,
way, have a
know.
Fabulous night. You never know. I love you
guys.
Right, guys. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
I love you.
I love you too, baby. Oh. Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
time together.
To have a laugh or sing a song. We just get started, and before you know it.